Hey, welcome to The Breeze. We appreciate your time today and encourage you to head on over to thebreezechurch.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links for all that's happening around The Breeze. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
Amen. Well, thank you for singing with us, being with us today. You may go ahead and find your seat, and we're going to dive into God's Word today. Well, my name is Blake. I'm the lead pastor here at The Breeze, and I'm always excited to bring forth God's Word. In fact, we can't have a Sunday when we're not talking about Jesus. Let me just be forthright. We know some of you, if you've attended, we know you've traveled to be here to watch some of those beautiful little ones, or maybe you're in the community and you've heard that there's going to be an awesome, epic performance. We're pumped that you're with us today. And take a moment, fill out a Connect card. We'd love to journey with you on what it means to discovering Jesus and who He is who He can be in your life. Well, we're in this series called Christmas Playlist. We've been talking about some good Christmas music, right? Like, how many of us know when it comes to Christmas, music can set the atmosphere, can set the tone, right? You know, it can like, woo, you know? So I asked Pastor Steph, I said, hey, I need your help because I hear there's some great Christmas music out there. So I asked him, hey, how about you share some great Christmas music with me? So, hey, Pastor Steph, you got any on your playlist?
I'm so thankful that I'm presented with this opportunity here today. I've had, ever since you spoke last week, I had so many great ideas and songs that would come to pass. And so I've just got just a couple. You know, I think this is going to be a good one for today. All right, goes like this. Grandma got ran over by a reindeer.
Stop.
What's wrong with that one?
That's awful, right? Like, if that's one of your favorite Christmas songs, I'm sorry, this might not be the church for you. Like, you got anything better, man? Like, your playlist, your top tier, help me out.
So is that too, like, kind of lighthearted? Okay, that's fine. But as for me and Grandpa, we believe. We'll bring it down a little bit, get a little bit more serious. Here we go.
Sir, I want to buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size.
If there's not a
some people were singing
pressing Christmas song out there, man, I don't know.
Tearjerker.
Like, if that's on your top five, I'm sorry. Like, these are, I've Googled some of the worst Christmas songs. That's there, man. That's there. Just come on. I need one more good one. Like, that you have one job, right?
I got one I keep in my pocket at all times. It sets the theme for Christmas.
All right.
All right, here it is.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only hippopotamus will do. I don't want a, stinkies.
Stop.
Man, got kicked off in the first 3 minutes.
Yeah. Those are awful songs, Pastor Steph. Which, I have this working theory that any great Christmas song revolves around the reason for the season. His name is Jesus, right? I think a lot of times we get that messed up a little bit, and we like to have a little light when it comes to Christmas season, but I'm going to invite you to join me. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, is where we're going to pick up a story where this young lady gets this divine interruption in her life. Her name was Mary. You saw her up here holding this little baby and expecting. And then we're going to look at a song like we did last week that is actually built around the Jesus in Christ story that we know. So join me, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. And "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be very great and we will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this be? I'm still a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and a baby will be born, will be holy. and he will be called Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. I asked the band, hey, share us a song that connects to this passage of scripture.
Did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy calmed the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh,
That's a lot better song. Can I get an amen in the house there? You know, I found it fascinating. The whole question built, composed around early in the 90s. Mary, did you know? You know, it's fascinating. Like, we read the story, we read the text, we read the Gospels, we kind of get the gist, and it's like, oh yeah, why couldn't you do it? God told you to do it. It's easy. It's a simple decision. But I love how Mary, not knowing the days ahead, but receiving the news, her first reaction, her comment in verse 38, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Mary didn't know all the details. Mary didn't have the directions lined up. Mary didn't have it all put together, have the perfect puzzle pieces slotted in. She didn't know, but she trusted God. And today, I want to talk to you, simply put it this way, I want to talk to you about God over details. So many times we want the details of life that we miss what God's trying to do in our life. I'm not sure exactly where you're at on your faith journey. I'm not exactly sure what's taking place in life, but this is one thing I can assure you, and one thing I can pray over you, and that I can hope for you, is that you say, God, I'm going to be your servant. May everything you say about me come true. So maybe today, there's some details that are wrapping you up in life, and I'd like to ask this question. It's a rhetorical question. One for you to think about is this. Even when I don't know, you fill in that blank. Even when I don't know how my marriage is going to play out, even when I don't know if I'm going to get the job, even if I don't know how life is going to be in 20 years, or if my stock or my retirement or everything's going to be fine, am I still going to trust God? When I don't know how the tensions in life are, the uncertainties in life are, am I willing to trust God? Because for many people, it comes down to this. We allow the unknown to stop us from trusting God. We say, God, I don't know, so I'm not going to react. God, I don't know, so things aren't going to really lay out and play out in my life like you're maybe wanting it to. God, I don't know, because this is the only person that shows me love and affection, so I know you have this ideal plan for how a relationship should be, but I don't really know all that, but I do know this. So today I want to talk to you crystal clear about this idea that we pull from Mary's story, and it's really this simple of an idea. It's not about knowing all the details of life. It's about trusting God with my life. Do you trust God? I really like to trust God, because I know if I'm not trusting God, then I'm trusting myself, and when I trust myself, I can be a pretty big letdown. Can I get an amen in the house? So it's about trusting God. Now, I often wonder when people go through life, they're like, what do they put their trust in? What do they put their hope in? Because for me, it's like, I have to trust God, because I know what life I'm living right now. I know how I've played out. I know my past. I know my hangups, my hurts, my perils, my problems, and I have to trust somebody bigger than myself. Because I want to remind us this, you may not know how it will turn out, but you know the one who is working it out. So you might not have all the details. Mary did not have all the details. Mary, did you know? The simple answer is, she did not. So I want to talk to you about a trust principle that we find in Mary's life, and it's simply this. And let's talk four insights briefly this morning. When I trust God with my life, we can pull this from Mary's story. It's simply for us this. I can be confused but confident because God is still with me. I can be confused. There can be uncertainty. There can be a lack of clarity. There can be an unknown water, unknown step, and still be confident because God is with me. We see this in verse 28. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary's reaction was. She tried to think to the angel, what could this mean? I want to be very clear on the sequence of scripture, because these little details matter. Angel shows up and says, hold on, Mary, let me talk to you real quick. Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Mary's like, what? I'm confused. I'm disturbed. I don't really understand. Before the plan is laid out, the angel wanted to assure Mary that God was there with her. Before your plan is laid out, God's first and foremost care is that you know that God is with you. Many times we want the plan before the relationship. But God is saying, I want the relationship. I want to know you. It's a principle we pull out of Mary's life. It's a principle we see in this story. The psalmist reminds us in 23 verse 4, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. In Matthew's account, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. You know, there's sometimes I look at life and I'm like, man, people are not with me. People are not for me. There's been struggles in my past, hangups and hurts in my past. But you know, one thing that we have to always come to celebrate, it's joy in this season of Advent, is that God is always with us. This is Brother Yoon. He wrote this autobiography called The Heavenly Man. He faced persecution. And when China had this cultural revolution, he was imprisoned. And before his imprisonment, it was said that he led 2,000 some people to know Jesus as Lord, leader, and savior in his life. Then he would be arrested several times, beaten. And under his account and eyewitnesses, he fasted for 74 days. He said his sustenance was that God, a divine encounter, knowing that God was always with him. He said there was nothing that was more fulfilling ever in his life than one of the darkest times, but feeling God so close to him. See, we can be confused how life's going to play out, but we can be confident that God is always with us. Secondly, when it comes to trusting God with my life, I can face fear and still move forward in faith. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen one of those old adages and people are like, faith over fear. And I've always been like, yeah, faith over fear. And then I really start thinking about some things in life. I really start saying, man, I'm still pretty fearful in a lot of things in life. I still have a lot of uncertainty in a lot of things in life. There's some alarms that have, and I'm like, man, am I a person that lacks faith? I want to be very clear. You might come in this room and you might have a lot of fear. You might be watching online and you might have a lot of fear. That doesn't mean that you're not a faithful person. It means you're human. Look how Mary responded. Don't be afraid, the angel said. The angel told Mary, don't be afraid. Like, things are okay. Like, it's okay. You know, there's a fear not 365 times, or a rendition of fear not in the Bible, for one every day. Why do you think we're told that so much by God? Because part of our humanity deals with fear. So I don't like to say it's faith over fear. I like to look at it more as like parallel roads going by each other. It's faith and fear. But the difference is, am I still going to step in the direction God wants me to step in, even though the fear is still there? Mary was fearful. She didn't know what was going on. But you know, so many greats in the Bible, there is not one person that is mighty in the Bible that we look at through the history that never dealt with fear. Let me just give you a list of a few of them. Joshua, he repeatedly was told when he entered the promised land, do not be afraid. Gideon, who was less than in his clan, hid from his enemies. Elijah, he had a big battle on Mount Carmel. He ran for his life. He was depressed. David, a man known as the greatest king, who we see in the Jesus Christ born narrative, is noted as the Jesus would come from his lineage, ran for his life. Jeremiah was afraid of people and rejection. Joseph was afraid to take Mary as his wife. The disciples were always afraid. They were a band of misfits. Paul was afraid in Corinth for preaching the gospel in aspects. But the difference is, fear doesn't stop us. It's moving into the fear with our faith next to us. You know, there's approximately 500 different phobias. that are noted in life. You know, there is a phobia, scientifically, and this list keeps growing. There is a phobia for people that are scared of having peanut butter stuck to the top of their mouth, right? Like they've named it. I can't even pronounce it. I'm going to give it a shot for us right now. It's like arachidophobia. Some of you like, well, hey, Pastor Blake, I got that fear after, you know, you're like, come see me. But then it's like, I'm never going to eat peanut butter again because I'm afraid it's going to get stuck to the top of my mouth. You know, there's a fear for being without your phone, a nomophobia. There's a phobia listed for being afraid of clowns. And some of you might be really afraid of clowns and in different areas. You might be afraid of something, but the question you got to always be asking yourself, I can face my fear even though my faith and still move forward with my faith. Or are you letting your fear not let you trust God? Psalms 34, verse 4. Psalmist simply put it this way. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Some of the greatest things that you can do is move forward despite your fears. It's called conquering your fears. Thirdly is this. When I trust God with my life, my weaknesses don't disqualify me because his grace covers me. Two times in the account that we just read about, Mary is listed as a woman with favor. A synonym for us this morning that we see in Scripture is someone who is covered in grace, someone who has God's grace over their life. She was favored. See, Mary wasn't just handpicked randomly, wasn't just one of those like, let's pull her out of a hat. But Mary was someone who God had an attention to. She was a 12 to 14-year-old young lady. Early in her pregnancy, she sang this song in Luke chapter 1, verse 46. We read a little further. This song is weighted. This song is riddled with Old Testament scriptures from Habakkuk to different books that you see throughout. And the point is that when she writes this song, she didn't have access to a scroll. She didn't go to the library. She didn't chat GPT something. She didn't look up something online or get something from TikTok. She had to know God's heart in her song that was riddled with Old Testament scriptures and verses. She had to know it in her mind, in her heart, in her soul. She had to really understand what was taking place. She didn't have the easy turn-to dictionary to look up words and concordances, but she had to know God's word. And so the question that we always look at and ponder is, even though Mary didn't know, she was already walking in steps and in lane and in the right path in which God wanted her to go. She was moving in the direction of knowing God's word. She was moving in the direction of staying faithful. She was moving in the direction. So when her number was called, she was ready for what was in store, even though she did not know. See, some of us were waiting to know and then we'll respond. Mary teaches us for 12 to 14 years, she was following God's plan without being told. She didn't have to have someone come and knock on her door to say, hey, you need to know God more. Hey, she didn't have someone come knock on the door and say, hey, you need to read your Bible more. You need to store up all these treasures in your heart. Hey, you need to have greater faith. She was moving in that direction because of her devout commitment to God. See, I thoroughly believe this, that there's nothing you can do to get more love from God. God loves us all. He gave up his one and only son, who died on the cross. The greatest decision you can make is when you believe in Jesus as Lord, leader, and Savior, and that you believe that God raised him from the grave, and Scripture says that you will be saved. Your sins are atoned for by Jesus' work on the cross. And we see this, it's amazing work, but this is what I do believe. You can position yourself to receive God's grace and favor better than you did maybe a year ago, better than you did maybe when you first started following Jesus. Maybe you haven't followed Jesus. You can position yourself to find favor. Mary teaches us a few things about favor in her life and finding favor. First, to walk humbly. Mary didn't have much, but she knew much. James 4:6, Jesus' half-brother reminds us this, and he gives grace generously, as Scripture says. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Secondly, when it comes to finding favor, the grace of God, desire his presence. That's why I say you gotta desire being in God's presence. Desire getting to know your Lord, leader, and Savior. Desire, and then maybe you're struggling with a little bit of that desire. You're praying for that desire. You're committing in worship of that desire. That's why it kind of sometimes blows my mind when people, hey, I love Jesus, but I'm not committed to worshiping or desiring to be with his people who also love Jesus. So it's like, I don't go to church, I don't go to groups, I hardly get in his word. My friends, when it comes to a life change relationship with Jesus, it's this desire that's there. Mary teaches us, she desired God without all of the extracurriculars. She walked humbly, she desired. And then thirdly for us, she followed his plan. She was obedient. Lord, I am your servant. May all you say be fulfilled. Psalms 5:12, for you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround them with your shield of love. And then our last insight we get from Mary's story is simply this. Every assignment comes with the strength to carry it. Every assignment that you're given comes with the strength to carry it. You know, as a parent, in this narrative of Mary, I have four beautiful children. Three of them were up here this morning. And I was just sitting there, and I was kind of like, you know, laughing and you know, just having some highlight reel moments, trying to enjoy the moments. I started thinking, you know, going in the service, Mary, did you know your firstborn son, that at his birth, like there would be a decree to kill every firstborn child in your town. Like as a parent, can you imagine that? That future on in Jesus' life, that Jesus, you'd be rejected by the place you were raised. That you'd be tempted by Satan himself in the wilderness. As a parent, this is the firstborn child that Mary is sitting front row to, the pain that she would have to. I mean, some of us, we get so wrapped up if, oh man, hopefully my kid behaves on stage, right? Hopefully I don't get a note home from school. Hopefully, like my kid, he plays on the team and he has his position and da, da, da. Can you imagine being the anxious parent of watching what was playing out in Jesus's life? Man, talk about putting things in perspective for us. The opposition by the community leaders that Jesus would be loved at one time and hated and despised at another time. There'd be betrayal from one of his closest friends, that there'd be false accusation. Mary, did you know that all this would happen? I believe if Mary knew all these details that would happen, like every sound-thinking parent in this room watching online, we would say, no, not my child. That is not going to happen, my child. I'm going to start going paying mercenaries. We're going to build a fortress, not my child. And then the ultimate, the physical suffering, the days leading up, the crucifixion of watching her firstborn child nailed to the cross, gasping his last breath, dying for all of humanity so that they could be made right with God. But Mary had the strength to carry it. Mary trusted God. Mary said, God, I am your servant. May everything that you have said come true. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. I pray from this glorious unlimited resources that he will empower you with strength through the Spirit. Acts chapter 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Some of you right now, you are going through some hard things and you need some strength in your life. And I'm telling you right now that you have an assignment that God's given you. You have the strength to carry it. Start trusting the Lord and you can lean into that. You say, God, I'm gonna walk humbly. I am your servant. God, I'm gonna desire your presence. I'm gonna seek who you are. And God, I'm going to trust you with the plan. And he will give us power through his Spirit. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. I'm going to pray over you as we prepare in this Christmas season, hoping that you're getting all of your gifts and shopping done. But may we never forget, my friends, it's not about the details of life, but it's about trusting God with our life. You might know, you might not have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted, but you know someone that's going to care, that's going to walk with you. Mary didn't know what one day her son would be walking on the seas, that her son would die for humanity. Mary didn't know, but God did. So maybe right now as we pray, maybe there's something stewing in your life, taking place in your life that you don't know. Maybe with all of us, we'll just join us together with your palms, hands facing upward and say, God, as we pray.
Thanks for listening today. If you have questions or would like to speak to someone about taking the next step in your faith journey, we invite you to connect with us at thebreezechurch.com. That's thebreezechurch.com. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.